All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Vav 106. We are picking up at the Mishnah on Kuf Hey Amud Beis 105b. So it was an interesting Gemara today. So a person goes ahead and the Muslim was speaking about different kinds of leasing agreements. So a person goes ahead and leases a field from his friend. So what happens? So grasshopper, locusts come and consume the produce of the field. O nishtafa, or I will say, or the crop becomes wind blasted. In makos medinahi, so we'll say if this is what we call a makos medina. So makos medina will mean this is a regional affliction. In other words, this is not something unique to this one field, but this is happening regionally, and we'll define exactly what that means. Then menake lo min kahuro. Then I will say the chocher, which we've translated as the tenant farmer, which is someone who pays a defined percentage, a defined amount, ultimately, again, not just, let me say differently. Remember, again, an aris is someone who pays a percentage of whatever the crop is. A chocher is someone whose fee is locked in. He's locked in, so he's going to pay no matter what the field produces. So says the Mishnah, in the event that there's some type of regional affliction, so obviously the chocher's rate is prorated accordingly. V'im ain't a makos medina, but I will say, for some reason, the field that I leased, suffered a setback, but it's not a regional issue, it's just an issue in this field, then ain't menache lo min chachuro. Then ultimately, I do not have a right as the tenant farmer to go ahead and renegotiate the amount. And Rashi HaKadosh points out, he says, why not ain't menache? D'amar lo mazal chagarim. Because I will say, the landowner can say to me, listen, it's your problem, it's your mazal. Meaning, if it's a regional famine, if there's a regional issue, so again, the landowner can't say to me, the sharecropper, to me, the tenant farmer, the chokher, it's your problem. It's not my problem. This is a regional problem. As such, I'm permitted to readjust the agreement. At the end of the day, however, again, if this is something unique only to my field, then Lamaisa, again, he could claim it's my mazel that did this, and therefore I'm on the hook for the entire amount of money. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, it depends. In Kiblo Hemenu B'maos, if Lamaisa, instead of going ahead and saying that I am chayif to go ahead and pay a percentage of the crop, instead I go ahead and I negotiate a specific amount of money, then what? Benkach u'benkach eino menachalo min chichuro. So this is actually interesting halacha. So if at the end of the day, let's say there are two ways that you can negotiate a chachirus, this type of rental or leasing agreement. I could say to the landowner, I'm going to pay you two kor of wheat. That's the classic case that we're talking about over here. And therefore, the Mishnah teaches me that in the event that there is some type of regional event that affects the output of the field, I could prorate the amount I have to pay accordingly. There's another possibility. The other possibility is I agree to pay you $1,000 a year. $1,000 a year. So I'll say, in that case, Rabbi Yehuda is suggesting that when I agree to pay funds and not produce, then Lamaisa, even if there is some type of regional event, I still have to pay the funds. Rabbi Yehuda's logic is, because at the end of the day, I agreed to pay money from the beginning. That reality has not changed, and therefore I'm on the hook for the same amount. Fine. Says the Gemara. We'll say, so of course, the $1 million question is, Hechi Dami Makos Medina. So we'll say, here's what we know. We know that if I go ahead and I lease a field, and I agree to pay some type of percentage of my crop, if there is some type of regional event, regional locusts, regional wind blasting, something that happens that affects all of the fields, so the mice, I have the right to go ahead and therefore adjust my lease payment accordingly. Says the Gemara, so what is the definition of what we call a makos medina, a regional event? So Rabbi Yehuda, kigon di ishtifru b'debagyo. So Rabbi Yehuda says, if the majority of the fields in the valley, bagyo is literally a valley, are affected. In other words, so we look at the area in which the field that I am leasing is situated. If the majority of the fields in that area have been adversely affected, that's called the makos medina. Ula amar kigon shenishtatfu arba salas me'abru chosea. So according to Ula says, I don't need the majority of the fields in the valley to be affected, but rather what I do need is the four fields that border my field to be affected. So if my field and the four fields around my field are affected, that's called makos medina. Amar Ula, so Bob Ma'arav, so Ula said in Eretz Yisrael, they asked the following questions. They said the following. Nishtaf talam echad al pnei kulav. My. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi, Nishtap Talam Echot, Velo Yoser Misados Shehim Sevivos Seha, Va'osa Talam Kol Sevivos Sada Zu. So we'll say, so what happens if it's my field got afflicted, and a strip of each of the bordering fields was affected as well? Is that called Makos Medina? Next question. Nishtayir Talam Echad Alpanei Kula Mahu. We'll say, what happens if my field was affected, but the four strips of the four neighboring fields bordering my fields were okay, but the rest of the fields were not? So does that, do those rows of healthy crops in each of the neighboring fields essentially create a break in the continuity between my fields and the neighboring fields? Next, Afsika Biramai. We'll say, what happens in the following situation? My field is wind-blasted. The neighboring fields next to me are just barren, fallow fields. They were never planted. But the four fields bordering on the fallow fields have all been affected by the wind blast or by the locusts as well. Does that create a regional reality? Next, Aspasta, type of kovav, mai. We'll say, what happens if the neighboring fields are planted with aspasta, right? So aspasta is like fodder, animal field. So what if those fields aren't grain fields, but they were also affected? So does that constitute a regional event or not? So zera acher mai. What happens if my field and the neighboring fields are not planted with the same crop, but we're all impacted? Does that create a regional reality or not? Chiti legavi seorika acher dami. Although, we'll say, what happens if my field is a wheat field, the neighboring fields are barley fields? Does that create a regional event as well? Kala olam kulo bishidafot. So we'll say, so essentially what we're asking over here is, what's the halacha? Okay, I understand. If it's my field and the four neighboring fields, all are planted with the same things and are all wind blasted or consumed by locusts, I understand that's a regional event. What happens if you have a change in any of those realities? What's the halacha? Next case. We'll say, what happens if everybody's field was wiped out because of wind blast? But mine was wiped out because of what they call a yellowing of the grain. Or everyone else's field was wiped out because of yellowing, and mine was wiped out because of wind blasting. What is the halacha about saying all of these cases, to which the Gemara answers? Teku. Okay, so we don't know. We'll have to answer this particular question for us. Amrle, we'll say, get ready for this halacha. This is amazing. Amrle, zarachiti va'azahu v'zarasar. So watch this. I leased a parcel of land, we'll call it from Reuven, and I leased it with the intention of planting wheat. Va'azahu v'zara. But v'zarasari. And what happens? Then I changed my mind, and I, the tenant farmer, I, the chocher, went ahead and planted barley. The ishtadof ruba debago, the ishtadof nami hanach saari delay. So what happens? The majority of the fields in the valley are wiped out by literally wind blasting, and my field is also, meaning I am the tenant farmer, I am the chokher, my crop is also wiped out. So we'll say, get ready for this. My, what's the halacha in such a case like this? Mi arminan do amrale ilu zara sachiti. So can the tenant farmer say to the landowner, listen, you know what? It's not my vini. Even so, remember, I'll say, what happened in this case? In this case over here, I deviated from the lease agreement. I said I was going to plant wheat. And it turns out that I deviated and I planted barley. So can I say back to the owner, listen, what does it matter if I planted wheat or I planted barley? You see, all the fields in the valley were adversely affected. See, even had I planted wheat, the wheat would have been wiped out. So that's a claim that I, the tenant farmer, can make. We'll say, you're ready for this. It's going to blow you away. Oh, Dilma, Matsi Amarle, or perhaps the landowner could have said to me, the tenant, the leaser, so the right, Ilu Zara Sachiti, no, or perhaps the owner of the land could say to me, no, had you planted grain like we agreed to, then what would have happened? That tigzar omer, literally, that which is decreed, that which I decree, or I should say, I say that which is decreed, and it will be upheld. But say, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Tigzar omer, masha tevakesh min hayotzer yaase, va'ani lo bakashti, that which you ask from God is often granted. So we'll say, watch this. So this is amazing. So the landowner could say, no, you owe me the money. You know why? This whole year I've been davening for wheat to be successful. And you now tell me that you deviated and you went ahead and you planted barley. Had you planted the grain, had you planted the wheat as we agreed, my tefillos would have been more successful. Ultimately, again, the reason why there's such a setback is because at the end of the day, I was davening for the wrong thing the entire time. So to which we'll say, get ready for this. Mistabra, da'amarle, izar asachit yahavim makayim biva tigzor omer vayakam lach, va'adrachecha nagor. We'll say, in this case, ta'alocha signs with the landowner. Halacha sides with the landowner, and the landowner has the right to say to the tenant, you owe me the full amount of the chachiros. Why? Because had you gone ahead and planted what we'd agreed on, my tefillos would have been more impactful. My tefillos could have potentially saved the crop, and therefore you owe me the entire amount. And Rabosai, this is codified in the Shulchan Aruch, Halacha Lemaisa, that in the event that the tenant farmer goes ahead and changes from barley to wheat, or from wheat to barley, even though all of the other fields in the area were wind blasted, he still owes the landowner the full amount of the chachiros, the full amount of the lease, because the landowner could say to him, I was davening the whole time for chiti, you changed it to sa'ari, and therefore again, you are chayiv to pay me the full amount. And says the Divrei Chaim, says the Sanhedrin, based on this Gemara, you know what the take-home message? The take-home message over here is not a din in chosha mishpat. The take-home message over here is the power of tefillah. Is what Chazal are teaching us about the power of tefillah. That here we're literally saying again, that had the tenant farmer, planted the right thing, who knows what the tefillos of the landowner, of the owner of the land, could have accomplished. The power of tefillos, sometimes we don't realize, again, the koach of our incredible tefillos. That sometimes at the end of the day, we don't understand what the impact that we have the ability to make, with our davening that we do each and every day. We'll say, such an incredible yisod. We often check a box. We often check in, we check out. And again, often for good reasons, we're often pulled in many different directions. But here I both say, you have it again, Chazal are asking, Halacha Lemaisa, based on the Koach HaTfilah, an incredible Gemara. Nishtatfu kol sadosav shel machkir. So I'll say, by the way, it also tells you, how, again, you can say that Ribono Shel knows what's going on. Anyway, you understand also the power of davening for what it is that you want. You understand that even though the Ribono Shel, of course, could direct the tefillos wherever he wants to collect, wherever he wants to channel it, at the end of the day, my tefillos make the greatest level of impact when I have a defined purpose in my davening. That's also the message that's coming out of here. A lot more to say on this, but all right, we'll save it for a legal holiday. The shtadfu kol sadosa shel machkir. We'll also listen to this next case. Let's say again, all of the fields, the machkir is the landowner. Let's say the landowner owns multiple fields. All of them are wiped out by wind blasting. So v'shtadof nami ahu bahadayu, v'lo shtadif from wind bagas. Well, so what happens? I'm leasing the land from Reuven. So it happens to be all of Reuven's lands are wiped out. They're all wiped out. And what happens? Including the one that I am leasing. But interestingly enough, the other fields in the area of my leased field were not wiped out by the wind blasting. So, Mike, what's the halacha in such a case like this? So on one hand, I can say, since the majority of the fields in the region were not wiped out, therefore, again, I cannot go ahead and adjust my leasing fee. The other possibility is, maybe the other possibility is, since all of the lands of Reuven were wiped out, I could say to Reuven, obviously this is your mazel. This is your mazel. So because it's your mazel, therefore again, I should be permitted to go ahead and adjust the leasing fee. Because look, all of your fields are wiped out. Mistabra da amrle, so to which Reuven could respond back to me. Reuven, the landowner, could respond back to me. Imi shum lasai didai didi hava mishtayer li porta. So this is interesting. About say, so Reuven could say, you know what? If it was because of my mazel that the fields were wiped out, a little bit would have been left for me. Kedichsev ki nisharnu ma'at meharbe. That sometimes again, when the Ribono Shel Olam is going ahead and exacting retribution from a person, he doesn't necessarily leave him totally destitute. He leaves him just a little bit. Just a little bit. So says Reuven, if it was my mazel, the fields in their entirety would not have been wiped out. Rather, again, a little bit would have been left over. So because ultimately, again, it's been wiped, totally been wiped out, Therefore, again, it's something different than my mazel, and therefore, again, you owe me, and because the other fields in the area were not wiped out, therefore, you owe me the full amount of the lease. Nishtatfu kol sados of shalchocher. Well, so listen to this. What happens if I, the tenant farmer, I, the chocher, also own a number of lands? And what happens? All of my fields are wiped out. Ve'ishtadof ruba debaga, ve'ishtadof nami ha bahadayu. And we'll say what happens. And the field that I'm leasing from Reuven, as well as the majority of the fields in this general area, were also all wiped out. My, what's the halacha? Mi amrinan kevan ve'ishtadof ruba debaga menachile. So do we say that since the majority of the fields in the region are wiped out, so therefore I can readjust the rental fee due to Reuven? Oh, Dilma, Kevan, the Ishtadav Kula Adaite, Matsi Amale Mishum Lasach, Didachu, Dahab, Ishtadfu, Kosa Doseich. Or could Reuven say to me, listen, Silber, this is your mazel. This is your mazel. Meaning, again, all of your other fields were wiped out as well. Therefore, this is your, because of your mazel that the field was wiped out. Therefore, you owe me the full amount, ultimately, again, of the lease agreement. Mistaber, the Amale Mishum Lasach. Excuse me, so we'll say ultimately again it appears to be clear that the landowner could say to me, the tenant farmer, it's your mazel that caused this, and therefore again you have to pay me the full amount. So the Gemara says, am I hachanami neimale imishum lasai didi havi mishayas liporta damakayim bi kinish arno mehat meharbe. So we'll say, but why can't I respond back to Reuven? But if it was my mazel, then what? At least a little bit would have been left in accordance with the pasuk that we quoted before, the amarlei, because ultimately, again, Reuven, the landowner, could say to me, yavachazis lishtayuri lach midi havi mishtayar lachami dinafshach. Because Reuven says, if the Rosh Hashanah wanted to leave you a little bit, ultimately would have left you a little bit from what? From your own properties and not from the property of one that you leased. Therefore, by definition, this is your mazel that was going this, and therefore you have to pay the full amount. Let's take a step back for just a moment. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about the halacha of someone sells ancestral lands. So if someone sells what we call a steachuza, ancestral lands. So the halacha is, we'll say, what happens with ancestral lands? Comes Yovel, land reverts back to its original owner. Not only that, but during the years of Yovel, I have the ability to go ahead and repurchase my land. But there is an interesting caveat. What's the caveat? You can't buy back or redeem what we'll call ancestral land within the first 2 years of the sale. So if I sell what I call, if I sell what I call my stay ahuza, my ancestral land, it belongs to my family, part of my tribal land. I sell it, I can redeem it, but I can't redeem it for the first 2 years. Now what the Bryce over here is discussing over here is what counts towards those first 2 years. So for example, now look at the Bryce again. If during one of those first 2 years it was a year, ultimately again, of wind blasting or yellowing of the wheat, O Shavius, or a Shemitah year, or there were years like Eliyahu, but also remember again, there were years in Eliyahu Hanavi's reign, during the reign of Ahav, where there was no rain. No rain. And of course, no rain creates major regional famine. So what happens? So the Gemara says, in all of those cases, so these years won't count towards the 2 year minimum for steachuza. So the Gemara says, this, interestingly enough, katani shidafon v'yirakon, Now the Gemara seems to equate shidafan yirakon, wind blasting and yellowing of the grain, with the years of Eliyahu. Mashne Eliyahu, delo havi tvua klal. Just like the years of Eliyahu, there was no grain at all. Af hachenami delo havi tvua klal. What that seems to say that also shidafan and yirakon ultimately again are only problematic if what? If there is no grain at all. So the Gemara says, about the ikotvua, I will say if there is some grain somewhere, salkale, then ultimately the years will count. And we will not say that ultimately again it is a makos medina, it is a regional famine. So we'll say what this sounds like is, even if there's not grain in the immediate vicinity, if there's grain somewhere, then you don't call that a makos medina. This case is different, I'll tell you why. V'mispar shnei tevuos yimachar lecha. We'll say it's different because by stei achuza, the Torah explicitly says that when you sell the stei achuza, when calculating how to go ahead and redeem it, you calculate what we call the mispar shnei tevuos, the years in which the field could go ahead and yield grain. Which also tells you that when calculating the 2 years of non-buyback period, it has to be years where the field was capable of producing grain. But if for some reason the field was unable to produce grain, that does not count as one of the 2 years. Amar le, Rav Ashi le Rav Kahana, Elamei Ata, if that's the case, so Shvi is ta'alelo, min ha-minyan, da-ha-ika tevua b'chutz la'aretz. So if that's the case, I will say, then why doesn't the Shemitah year count as one of the 2 years? Because even though in the Shemitah year, you can't work your own field, but there is still grain to be produced, even in Chutz La'aretz. In other words, that's still called Shnei Tevuos, Shnei Tevuos, it's still called the year of grain, to which the Gemara answers, Amar Lei, Shvi'is Afka Asa D'Malkehi. Shemitah is different, because Shemitah, if you look at Rashi, Afka Asa D'Malkehi, HaMelech Bitlo Milazara, the king has commanded that you can't seed the field, Baharihi kemo she'eno. And I will say, because the king is the one who says that on Shemitah you have to allow your field to lay fallow, it just doesn't count as one of the years. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, Amar le Marzucha b'ed Rav Mari, Ravina al Me'ata, Shvi'es lo sa'la lo mina girua. So if that's the case again, then why does the Shemitah year, I will say, count? See, when you redeem ancestral fields, so the way it works is the following. Everything is calculated based on a 50-year sale. So, I'll say, by the way, it's like this in Eretz Yisrael today also. In most places in Eretz Yisrael, when you buy land today, interestingly enough, you don't actually purchase land. Instead, what you have is you have a long-term lease. You could have a 100-year lease, but it's very interesting. So, I'll say, it's always fascinating to see that certain things in the contemporary Medina, knowingly or unknowingly, are carryovers from biblical Eretz Yisrael. It's fascinating to see. In any event, so we'll say, so when you sold land in biblical Eretz Yisrael, pretty much you sold land for 50 years. Because remember, if I was selling my ancestral land, I'm getting that back in the Yovel. Which means that if you wanted to redeem land sometime during the Yovel cycle, how do you decide on the buyback amount. How do you decide on that? So first, the way you decide on buyback amount is we calculate the number of crops, the number of crop seasons between now and Yovel. That represents the value of the field. That's the amount, the future amount of produce that this field is going to produce. Now, interestingly enough, when calculating that out, guess what? Shemitah year is included in that valuation. Because remember, again, in the 50-year cycle, you have 7 Shemitos in there. Those years are counted as part of the value of the crop cycle of the land. So if that's the case, if we're saying the Shemitah year doesn't count for one of the 2 years of the non-buyback period of ancestral land, why does it count as part of the general buyback period of ancestral land? To which the Gemara says, "After Alama Tana, why do we learn? No, sin selo punyon l'shana." So we'll say, because again, without getting, Rashi goes through the whole calculation, not going to get into it now, but you give a sela and a punyon for every year, which indicates to us that lamaisa, again, the Shemitah year is calculated as part of the buyback period. Amrle shiny hasam, techazia l'mishtecha ba'peri. No, because we'll say, that even during the Shemitah year, even though you can't work the land, so the Shemitah year ultimately is not going to year of produce, but you can use the land. How can you use the land during the Shemitah year, Rabosai? Because again, it can be used to spread out fruit over the land. So again, I can't use it to plant, but I can use it for other crop purposes. Amr Shmuel, Lo Shavu says, going back to the Mishnah, Lo Shanu Ela Shazar B'Tzemcha V'Achla Chagav. So we'll say, so when do we say that if I leased a field and then there was a regional issue, like locusts, wind blasting, or famine, whatever it was, that I could go ahead and adjust my lease amount. That's only when I planted, the crop grew, and it was consumed by locusts. Avalo zara klal lo. But we'll say, if I never planted at all, and then what? We'll say, listen to this case. Let's say I never planted at all. But all the other fields in the region were affected by some type of regional event. I can't readjust the lease payment based on the fact that all the other fields were planted. In other words, I can't say, well, look, had I planted, you see what would have happened, so therefore I shouldn't be permitted to adjust the payment. It doesn't work that way. If you didn't plant, you still have to pay the full amount. So the Amar Lei Ilu Zarasa Mekayim Bi Lo Yevoshu BeEsra Or BeMeira Avon Yispo. Because it will say, if I don't plant, the owner of the land could have said to me, listen, for all you know, had you planted, there would have been a special bracha on my crop, and therefore what? It would not have been affected like everyone else, and I would have had produce. Massive Rav Sheshes, so also Rav Sheshes says the following. Literally, the passage that the quoting is from Tehillim. Lo yevoshu be'Israel, do not despair in a time of evil. Ubemeira avon yisbo, because Kadosh Baruch Hu could allow for sustenance even during a time of famine. So what's essentially what the owner is saying is, just because all of the other fields were adversely affected, doesn't mean that it's impossible that had you planted the field, my crop would have been protected. Says the Gemara, what is the Kasha Mesa Rosh Hashanah? Roe, Shaya Roe. So if there was a shepherd who was shepherding, v'hiniach edru baliyah. So we'll say what happens. Remember, we actually had this case before. He left his flock for a little bit in the middle of the day, came into the city, which Rabbi say is normal. It's normal. Apparently, again, shepherds used to leave the flocks for some amount of time. Ubaze'e v'tarach, taraf. And a wolf came along, killed some of the sheep. Ubari v'daras, or a lion came along and killed some of the sheep. Ein omrim ilo haya sham haya matzil. We don't say, had the shepherd been there, he would have we don't automatically assume that if the shepherd was there, he would have automatically been able to save the flock. Ela omdin oso, im yachol lahatzil chayev, v'im lav potter. Rather, both say, we look at the shepherd, we look at the nature of the predatory animal, and we assess. There are times where if the shepherd was there, he could have scared off the animal. And there are times where if the shepherd was there, he would have been scared off, right? He would have done nothing. So we assess it. If the shepherd could have prevented the loss, then he's going to be chayiv. If he couldn't have prevented the loss, he's going to be potter. V'amai. But I don't understand. Why don't we say, namely, I havis hasam, havi mekayim bi, gamis ha'ari, gamis ha'dov, hika avdecha. So remember, why don't we say something we said before? Just like we said before, that if the tenant farmer doesn't even plant the field, even though the entire region is wind blasted, so the tenant farmer is still going to be chayiv to pay the lease amount. Why? Because the owner of the field could say, listen, had you planted, an ace would have been performed for me. So we'll say, so why can't we say over here, why can't the owner of the flock say to the shepherd, had you been there, right? Perhaps a nace would have been performed for you as well. Mishum da amar lei, I havis chazis lesachushe lechanisa, havis rachish lenisu. This is a good line. Because the shepherd could have said, listen, if you're so pious that you deserve a miracle, the miracle should have happened for you even if I'm not there. Otherwise, right? Don't, right? If you're such a tzaddik, the Yibon Shalom could provide, harbe shluchim yesh lomakom, right? The Yibon Shalom has many different agents. So if you're such a tzaddik that you deserve miracles, you don't need me. I'm just a simple shepherd to perform the miracles. After all, again, we saw this before, that Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa had beautiful miracles performed for him. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, in his flock, his sheep, his rams, used to bring bears on their horns. As I will say, that when bears would attack the flock, the sheep or the goats themselves would defend the flock. So the shepherd could say back to the owner, listen, don't go ahead and make your miraculous activity dependent on me. If you're such a tzaddik, then ultimately, again, the miracle should have happened on their own. So why can't the owner respond back to the shepherd? So it's true. Maybe I don't merit great miracles. Maybe I should merit against small miracles. Kasha. Indeed, I will say that is a kasha. So I'll say, bottom line, interesting enough, what you see over here is the following. And this is a very important yisod over here as well. That essentially, not trying, but when if a person doesn't engage in effort, that always saddles you with liability. That's the bottom line of the halacha. So if you don't plant the field at all, even if the other fields in the region are windswept, you are still going to be on the hook for the entire lease amount. Why can't you claim that at the end of the day, had I planted, you see what's happening to all the neighboring fields would have happened to me. Selamai, you see that again, there's an obligation to put in effort. And if you don't put in effort, then one thing is sure, which is you have complete liability. If you put in the effort, absolutely things happen. And if things happen, the halacha frees you from responsibility under certain circumstances. But non-effort always results in complete responsibility. Tani Chada. Supposed to listen to this. Supposed to say we have one bright that says the following. Pam Yishonu Shni Azora. Ushlishu Shni Azora. Supposed to say, this is actually very interesting. So in this same topic, Take a look for a moment at the first Rashi. So we'll say if the tenant farmer plants the field the first time, the second time, zara va'achla chagav on mishtava chozer v'zara shenis im eino zara elamenach lo afilu himakas medina. So we'll say, listen to this. So the halacha with the sharecropper is that even in these cases where there is some type of regional event, the sharecropper the tenant farmer has to try multiple times to plant. So if he tries the first time and it doesn't work, second time and it doesn't work, third time and it doesn't work, then he's permitted to go ahead and somehow readjust the lease amount that's due. How Vitanya Idachar was another brisa that says Shlishes Zora, Revius Eino Zora. So we'll say the second brisa says he has to plant it 1, 2, 3 times. Fourth time he doesn't have to try anymore. So we'll say, see the machlokes. First brisa says he has to try 2 times, and really on the third time he doesn't have to try again, but he can readjust the lease amount. Second brisa says he has to try 3 times, and the fourth time he assumes it's not going to work. So which solo kasha? Hakrebi Rav Shimon Levi. We'll say it's not a contradiction. 2 different opinions. Hakrebi Da'amar Betrei Zimni Havi Chazaka. Hakrebi Rav Shimon Levi Da'amar Betlas Zimni Havi Chazaka. So we'll say, so bottom line, it's a machlokes in Chazaka. There's a fundamental dispute that we see throughout Shas about how many times does it take to establish Chazaka. Rebbe says it's 2 times. Rav Shimon Levi says it's 3 times. Now, the Gemini will be this case. At what point in time do we establish a chazaka that the crop is not going to take? So Rebbe says 2 times. That's the first braisa. Rav Shimon Levi says 3 times. That's the second braisa. Fine. Says the Gemara. Amrei Shlakish lo shanu ela shezara v'tzamcha v'achla chagav. So I'll say, when do we say that under certain circumstances, if there's a regional event, so the tenant farmer could go ahead and readjust the lease amount? That's only if he planted the crop. The crop tzamcha, the crop blossomed, va'achla chagav, and then the grasshoppers ate it. Aval zora v'lo tzamcha. I will say, if let's say again, the tenant farmer planted, but the crop never sprouted. Matzi amar le balakarka kol yemei zara lava azil. So we'll say the owner could say, listen, if it didn't sprout, if it didn't blossom, it's a better word, not sprouting or blossom. What's the
root,
okay, fine. If it didn't take root, then what? Then plant again. In other words, I will say, the planting season is not just 1 day. So the owner of the land could say, okay, you know, if you fail, try it again. So it didn't take root, so just try it again. Va'ad ima. So I will say, that's a very interesting halacha. So up until what point in time is the tenant farmer obligated to keep trying to plant? So watch this. Amra papa ad da asu aris midabra, until the sharecroppers come home from the field, the kaima kima arashayu. And kima is on their head. So we'll say, without going through the entire shatel, you can see it's a pretty long rashi over here. So I'm going to give you the bottom line. Until the month of Adar. That's the bottom line. Right? So the Gemara says that this is a descriptive Adar. Right? So until Adar apparently is the end of the Rabbosei. Now, by the way, Adar is actually late. So you understand Adar is late. Why? Because remember again, Tu B'Shvat is normally, we assume, the cutoff on the ag reading, pretty much like the end of the winter, not the end of the seasonal winter, but the end of planting winter. But yet here the Tana says until Adar, which means if I'm a sharecropper and my plants, whatever my crops are not taking root, I have the obligation to try and try and try up until Adar. So the Gemara says, "May say really that late until Adar?" Well, so listen to this. So you have Rishon Manasseh saying, here is the agricultural setup. Chatzi Tishrei, Mar Cheshvan, V'chatzi Kislev Zera. From the middle of Tishrei, the month of Cheshvan, and as you also, I just want to point out, by the way, you see, we often assume that Mar Cheshvan ultimately, again, is that Mar Cheshvan is because, again, we like the Vart, that there are no Yamim Tovim. So we'll say, so it's quite possible, according to many opinions, that the name of the month is actually Mar Cheshvan, right? Or Marach Shivan, whatever the name is. That's why, again, we refer to it as Mar Cheshvan, not just because it was so sad, there are no Yamim Tovim. That's why, for example, in a Ksuva, according to many opinions, if you just write Cheshvan and you don't write Mar Cheshvan, it can actually be problematic. So again, this point, just a side piece of information. The Chatzi Kislev, absolutely nothing with that piece of information, right, except write Ksuvas. In any event, it says the Gemara, the Chatzi Kislev, so the half of Tishrei, the month of Mar Cheshvan, and half of Kislev, Zera. That's the planting season. That's the planting season. Chatzi Kislev, Teves, the Chatzi Shvat, half of the month of Kislev, the month of full month of Tevis, and half of Shvat, which was it takes you up to where? Half of Shvat takes you to? To Bishvat. Sechorev. That's called winter. Chatzi Shvat, Adar v'chatzi Nisan, half of the month of Shvat, the month of Adar and half of Nisan, Kur. That's called the cold season, or winter. Chatzi Nisan, Iyar v'chatzi Sivan Ktsir, half of the month of Nisan, the month of Iyar, half of the month of Sivan, is considered the harvest season. Chatzi Sivan, Tammuz v'chatzi Av, Kayitz. So let's say half of the month of Sivan, the month of Tammuz, and half of the month of Av, until Tuba Av. That's called summer. Chatzi Av ve'elu v'chatzi Tishrei Chom. So we'll say, so apparently in Eretz Yisrael, there's summer and there's Chom. Right? There's hot and there's really hot. So apparently, again, from half of the month of Av, Elul and Tishrei is Chom, exceptional heat. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda. So that's how Shem Manasseh reckons the seasons. Right? And obviously this has ramifications because it tells you when you plant. Rabbi Huda Mona, Rabbi Huda says, Mitishrei. So we'll say Rabbi Huda says, now Rabbi Huda begins the counting not from the middle of Tishrei, but rather he backs everything up by 2 weeks to the beginning of Tishrei. Rabbi Shimon Mona, Mar Cheshvan. Rabbi Shimon goes ahead and he counts it from Mar Cheshvan. Saman Meiko Bekula. So we'll say, who is quote unquote most lenient? Now when we say lenient, it means who is the one who allows for the longest planting season? Rabbi Shimon. We'll say it's Rabbi Shimon. The Kulei Ha'ilu Kamar. Yet even Rabbi Shimon doesn't have the planting season extending to Adar. So let's just, we have a Kasha. Because we just said before that Lamaisa, again, if you are the sharecropper, so you have an obligation to keep trying to plant the field until Adar. Yet, the longest duration for planting is Rabbi Shimon. And even Rabbi Shimon doesn't go until Adar. To which the Gemara says, Lo Kasha. Had the kabla mina mecharfi, had the kamina bathir. Well, so everything depends on what type of crops. See, in agricultural society, in order to take full advantage of the planting seasons, there are two types of crops that you would plant. You would plant what was called charfi, which means early crops, and you would plant what's called afli, which are late crops. So for early crops, einachinami, so the planting season ends before Adar, but for late crops, there was some planting that ultimately would go into Adar as well. Therefore, when we tell the sharecropper to go ahead and keep planting, we tell him again, it would have to be with certain types of later blossoming crops. Okay, Rabbi Huda Omer, and Kibbol HaMenemal, so also remember again, so Rabbi Huda said, going back to the Mishnah, Rabbi Huda said that Halacha L'Maisa, if the Chachirus was framed with a monetary amount, as opposed to a crop amount. I was supposed to say, I don't say, remember, the typical case of Chachiras that we're dealing with is, I lease the land to Reuven, I say, Reuven, I'm going to pay you 3 quart of wheat. That's it, done. 3 quart of wheat. It depends, whatever the field produces, I'm going to pay you 3 quart of wheat. So Yehuda says, if instead of saying, so that's when, if there's a regional event, I can readjust the lease amount. Because again, it's dependent on crop output. If on the other hand, I say to Reuven, Reuven, I'm paying you $1,000. So Rabbi Huda says, if we negotiate a dollar amount, then what? Even if there is a regional event, I cannot change the terms of the lease. I have to pay in the same amount. So says the Gemara, Hahu gabra de kabil aralim izrei buhutumi, betumi agada dinar malka sab. So we'll say there was a man. I went ahead and I leased land from Reuven. And I leased it from, the land was on the banks of the Malka Sava River. And I went ahead and I leased it from him to plant tumi. Tumi is garlic. What happens? Bezuzi. And I will say, I went ahead and I agreed on a certain amount of zuz. Right? So meaning this is a case where the lease is framed not in a payment of produce, but rather in a monetary payment. Watch this. Istakir nar Malka Sava. So the Malka Sava River was stopped up. And therefore, I'm going to say, because the river was stopped up, what happens? I could not properly irrigate my fields. And therefore, there was no crop. Also, the Kamei D'Rava. So I come before, right? So the Chocher, the tenant farmer, came before Rava. Amr Lehei. Now, first, why line about? Say Kofav Amadeis. Nahar Malka Sava Lo Abed Miskar Makas Medinahi. It is uncommon for the Malka Sava River to become stopped up, and therefore, again, about say this is what we would call a Makas Medina. Zil Nechi Lei. So Rava said to the sheriff, to the tenant farmer, you could readjust your lease amount. Because this is a Makas Medina, it's a regional event, you can readjust your lease amount. Armulu Rabban the Rava, Ha'anan Tanan Rabbi Huda Omer, Kibla Imen Abba Maos, Tenkach Ubenkach, Inu Menachlam in Chichuro. So the rabbis went ahead and said to Rava, Rava Bar Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda explicitly said in the Mishnah that what? That if you negotiated a dollar value for the lease, then even if there's a regional event, you can't change the lease amount. But this is Kriyat Amr Lahu, less the chasher Rabbi Huda, who holds like Rabbi Huda, Rabbi said, right? So meaning, in other words, that just because Rabbi Huda is mentioned in the Mishnah doesn't automatically mean that we pass. And so Rabbi says we do not subscribe to this approach, and therefore again, even if there was a dollar figure attached to the lease amount, if there was a regional event, so ultimately again, the tenant farmer could go ahead and renegotiate the lease amount with the field owner. Says the Mishnah, Hamikabel Sada Mechavero Ba'asara Korchit Al Mashana, V'loksa. So we'll listen to this. So again, still in the realm of Chachirus. So I went ahead and I leased a field from Reuben. And the way we work it is, I agreed to go ahead and pay him 10 kor of wheat per year. That's the amount, 10 kor of wheat per year. V'loksa. And we'll say, what happens? So the field produces, but the wheat is of inferior quality. The wheat is of inferior quality. Look at Rashi. V'laksa, it's the fifth wide line in Rashi. V'laksa, sheyuchitin shedufos, v'gam kuchushos, v'zu b'chachirus v'tchulishno. So we'll say, listen to this. So it produces grain, but the grain is of an inferior quality. No sin lo misocha. So we'll say, so the halacha is, I could still pay him from the inferior quality wheat. In other words, that we don't, so as long as the field produces enough wheat to pay him the amount, I can pay him from the inferior wheat, and I don't have to go purchase better wheat from somewhere else. Hayuchita yafos, let's listen to this. Let's say, however, I go ahead and the field produces very good wheat. So what happens? Lo yomar, lo harini lokech min ashok. So I say to this, listen, I never promised him high-grade wheat. I just promised him regular wheat. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the shuk. It's more worth my while to what? To buy for him average wheat, pay him with the average wheat, and keep this wheat for myself. That you can't do. Ela no silo misocha. Rather, again, Abba says, so bottom line, this works both ways. The tenant farmer always pays the owner from the wheat of the field. And that is true whether the wheat is inferior or whether the wheat is superior. Says the Gemara, ho gabra de kabal ara la aspasta bekuri de sari. So I leased the field from Reuven. Now watch this. I leased the field with the intention to go ahead, not the intention, but with the agreement to go ahead and plant aspasta. Remember again, aspasta is fodder. A very inferior type of crop that had only one use, which was animal feed. So I went ahead, so the way this lease agreement worked was the following. I am leasing the field to plant aspasta, and the lease amount, the payment is a kur of barley. So I'm paying him in barley. So obviously, I'm paying him in barley. So again, obviously, I'm not planting that barley. I'm going to purchase that barley, but that is the rental amount. I'm going to lease the field for a kur of barley. Avda aspasta, so what happens? My field, so I planted the aspasta, shalomai. So I have the chashra, vizara sarai. Then I decide, you know what? I had a good aspasta year. Now I'm going to plant barley. I'm going to plant barley, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a core of that barley and use it to pay off my lease amount. So what's that? So remember, this is not in alignment with the agreement. The agreement was the field was going to be used for aspasta. I did year one of aspasta, then I said, you know what, year two, I'm going to do barley, and I'm going to pay off the lease amount from the barley. So what happens? V'lako hanusari. The barley crop did not work out. And the barley crop was a bomb. Did not work out. Was right? Didn't take root. Shachar of chaviva misura depras lekamei dravino ki haigav demai. So what is the halacha in this situation? What is the halacha in this situation? Ki laksa. I'm sorry. Ki haigav demai. Ki laksa no sein lo misocha dami. So what say? So do we say that at the end of the day, look, the field was adversely affected, and the halacha is over here that just like the Mishnah said, listen, I pay you from what I have. Unfortunately, again, the field did not produce, did not sprout proper barley, so I'm sorry. Oh, low. So I'm sorry. Kiloksa, no silam was so chodami. Oh, low, or not. Amar le, me dummy. How can you compare the two cases? Hasim, so you will say in the case of the Mishnah, law of the Arish Lichusa Demara. So you will say in the case of the Mishnah, so at the end of the day, literally, the field didn't follow instructions. We'll say, what does that mean? That in the Mishnah's case, again, I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I leased the field to go ahead and plant wheat, and right, and whatever it is, the field didn't comply. So that's the Mishnah says, listen, I did my ishtadlus, the field didn't comply, I pay the owner of the field from what the field produces. Hacha, Avda Arashli Chusa Demara. We'll say in this case over here, the field is doing exactly what it's supposed to do. Meaning, in other words, I leased the field for what? For aspasta. I leased the field for aspasta. The field produced aspasta. Then what? then I deviated. What did I do, Rabbi Osai? I planted barley. That wasn't what the field was supposed to be used for. If that's the case, because I deviated, nothing happened with the land. The problem was with me. I deviated from the agreement. Therefore, what? Therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, I will be on the hook for the full amount of the barley. Ho gavra dekabel pardes mecharve ba'asar dani chamra. So again, I leased a field from my friend, literally an orchard. For my friend, we'll call it a vineyard actually. A vineyard for my friend for 10 barrels of wine. Right? That's the value of the lease. Takifahu chamra. So we'll say what happens. So the grapes are fine. We produce the wine. And what happens? The wine goes sour in the barrels. So what's the halacha? So Rav Kana lemeimar haynu mas nisin, laksa nosin lo misocha. So Rav Kana wanted to say, oh, this is the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say, Rabbi Osai? That again, if something happened to the barley, if the barley produced was an inferior barley, I, the person who's leasing, still has the ability to pay the balabas from that barley. And therefore, same thing over here. Nebuch, I'm sorry what happened to the wine, but this was the wine I set aside for you. It went sour, it's your loss. To which the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Ashi, no. Me, Dami, how can you compare the cases? Hasam lo avda arash lichusa. Siyabosai, in the case of the Mishnah, so it was the land that did not comply, right? It was the land that did not comply. In other words, that at the end of the day, I did my best. The land didn't comply. It produced inferior grain. That's when I have the right to say to the Balabas, no, here's your payment. However, again, hacha of the arish lichusa. Bosai, in this case over here, the land did exactly what it was supposed to do. It produced the grapes. Something subsequent happened again with the barrel or with the wine. So because something happened, ultimately, again, Rashi says, of the arish lichusa, ha'adnovim lo loku. There was nothing wrong with the grapes. Elam yishenasi yayin b'chaviyusa b'beisa loka. He'll say something happened with the barrels that were being stored in my home. Brahma abasa, chamra kafsa de garba shava. So we'll say, so because something happened with the barrels, I, the lesser, will be chayiv for that. Umode Ravashi beinveid de kadum or besada shlaksabam rab. Ravashi will agree that Rabbi Osai, in a case where the grapes themselves, kadum Rashi says, were wormy. If the grapes became wormy, there was something with them, then einachinami, I'd be able to pay from inferior produce. Or again, in the fields where the sheaves themselves were stricken, those are the cases where I'd be able to go ahead and pay a discounted amount. So we'll stop over here. The bottom line, again, what's coming out is the following. Saloka lemaisa, the way the Mishnah Paskins is like this. If I am leasing property, I'm leasing a field, and I have a defined purpose for that lease. I'm leasing the field to go ahead and plant wheat. And then it turns, and again, and I'm going to pay you being the owner of the field, 2 core of wheat. And something happens, and then the wheat crop goes bad. I have an inferior crop. The halacha is that what? I am permitted to pay the owner of the field from that crop. I'm permitted to do that. So because why? Because I did my part. I could pay him, therefore, again, from whatever I have. In the event, however, that I deviated, right? I leased the land in order to plant wheat, and then I planted barley. Then if I deviated, then again, I will say, I cannot claim a discounted amount, because since I deviated again, the onus is upon me, and I'll have to pay him the full value of the lease. So we'll stop over here. Pick up your meditation tomorrow.